So here with, I thought I was the most eccentric dressed person in horse racing, but turns out you're giving me a run for the money, man.
There you go. I like it.
I dress a little bit different. You're like more kind of cash chic.
I don't even know what you call it.
Right. I like the shoes and the hat and everything like that. Is this a normal? Did you wake up out of bed and just...
No, I asked my wife to prepare this.
Okay, so the wife...
it used to be holy jeans and t-shirts, kind of like maybe this look without the tattoos.
Yep.
And then somebody told me I should probably look a little bit more professional, so out comes the tie.
There you go.
And then I was like, I got to do something a little different.
So the wife just... Does she set out your clothes and then send you on your way? And
she gives me a choices, and then I choose.
Okay, because my girlfriend, she pins a $10 bill to my chest and set, you know, that's my daily allowance, and says, here, go out into the world, and that's all you get.
That's about right.
That's all you get. So we're here in the, what's this? This is the video room, the couches.
This is the hospitality tent.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got couches, we got food, we got drinks, ice cream, TVs.
You name it, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
No, I mean, there's only yearling videos. I mean, I figured one of them would be like, well, it's Monday, so there's no sports going on, but yeah. I'm sure.
Monday Night Football, it should be.
Right. Is that what's going to be set up here? Or
No.
Unfortunately. Okay.
Unfortunately. Now, we'll shut down before that.
Okay.
Get home, drink beer before that.
Right. So this is the most hectic time of the year and the most fun. Is that safe to say?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. All the hard work that everybody's put in for the last 2 years comes to fruition this week.
Right, it is 2 years, like, because breeding, and you do everything, right? Is there anything in the breeding business you guys don't do?
No,
you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna gear towards one area? Because there's, you know, there's breeding, there's raising, there's foaling, there's
we do it
selling.
All.
Is
we
there
got
one?
Two farms, one in Pennsylvania, one here, and we kind of flip flop the mares back and forth so they're dual eligible. We collect stallions in Pennsylvania, we foal in Pennsylvania, we raise the yearlings here, we prep the yearlings here, mm-hmm. Mares go back and forth, so it's hectic all the time.
It's been, what, 10 years, give or take? How long is
this? Yeah, it's been 12 years, but 10 years is good enough.
Okay, 12 years ago.
I was 24 and an idiot.
Did you think that you were going to be...
No, I thought I was smarter than everybody else.
Okay.
It's taken me 12 years to realize I'm not.
Well, I don't think that's true because, listen, there's plenty of smaller farms in here that probably have been around a long time. Maybe they're okay with being small, but you want to be the biggest and the best, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm never going to have the numbers that Hanover...
Call out Hanover right now. Yeah, I'm coming for you.
Exactly.
That's it.
Stallion-wise, absolutely.
I'm coming for you, bro.
We're about to dominate the stallion market.
Right, I like that.
I'm okay saying that.
You're okay with that.
I'm never going to have 500 mares, but we're going to have the best stallions.
Is that something that you have to, because like you said, 500 mares is a lot. Is that a business plan that you have to say, I want 500 mares, or is that because we're successful, we have 500 mares?
I think you have to choose to have that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think and that's not a 1 year or 2 year deal. That's a long-term commitment to adding to the, but it's hard. I mean, you got to know that you're going to have a big wide range. You're going to have, I mean, Hanover, they got really good mares. And then, you know, just by having that many,
you're going to have ups and downs. It is what it is.
Yeah. So we're happy with having somewhere between 60 and 80 mares, and right now we have 7 stallions, and the plan is to have them not only in Pennsylvania, but in other states as well in the next 5 years or so.
Okay. Is there going to be a third farm?
There will probably be a third and fourth and maybe fifth farm.
Really? Okay. So you're kind of, you say you don't want 500 mares, but you're leaning towards that direction.
No, I don't know that the mares will ever change. It will be more of a stallion operation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, so right now they're in Pennsylvania, and we've got 2 in Ohio with Sugar Valley Farm. And Joe's been a good partner of ours for right now. And the next expansion will be New York and Ohio, Canada, New Jersey.
Wait, who's the biggest in New York?
Exactly. We're coming.
I was just going to say,
We're coming.
Is there...
Get ready.
Okay, so is it to try to go into every state, Canada?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be if we have the right horses for those places. We will identify horses that fit those states, and when we're ready to do that, then we'll go.
Okay, I like that. So definitely stallions is the number one. When people want to think of Diamond Creek Farm, they're thinking stallions. Is that what you want? That what your legacy to be?
Legacy, that's an interesting question. I think
Because like when I think Hanover, I think biggest at everything. Right. Just be the largest.
Yeah. You know? I think when somebody looks at this sport and thinks about the greatest stallions, they should be synonymous with Diamond Creek.
Okay. So that's the goal.
20 years from now. Yeah.
Because you also race horses.
The Breeders' Crown Championship for Open Facing Mares, Field of 10, sponsored by the USTA. Lining up. They're in the stretch. Past the first start pole, here they come. And they're off and pacing. And fast off the gate, Nike Franco N for the lead. Darling on the beach on the outside is hustled away. And from the front side comes Lady Shadow as she comes swooping in, challenging the early leaders. LA Delight comes away fourth. Blue Moon Stride to the inside is fifth. Then it's Pure Country pacing in sixth. Winston Glory comes away seventh. Sasa Hanover is next as they arrive at the first quarter mile marker. 26-2 for that opening is split. The early trailer as they step onto the backstretch there, it's seven times a virgin. So clearing to the front was Lady Shadow and Jingra. They lead the way a length and a half here. Nike Franco N will follow along in the pocket seat in second. Darling on the Beach is next in third. LA Delight lined up in fourth. Blue Moon Stride, mid-pack is fifth. Pure Country is next and sixth. She's brought to the outside. They'll start up the outer flow. Winston Glory skimming the pylons. Bedroom Confessions to the outside as the field tightens to the upper turn. Lady Shadow with the lead two. To the inside, Nike Franco N. And to the outside, moving first up now, comes LA Delight as they approach the three quarters. Blue Moon Stride flushed and follows that cover. Darling on the Beach is trapped to the inside. She is blocked in fifth. Pure Country to the outside. They arrive at three quarters, 123-2. Lady Shadow leads for home. To the inside, Nike Franco N. Tietrich waits for the passing lane. And to the outside comes Blue Moon Stride and Miller. They've less than an eighth of a mile to go. Lady Shadow clings to the lead. Down to the inside comes Darlin' on the Beach. Darlin' on the Beach into the passing lane. And to the outside, here comes Blue Moon Stride. It's a cavalry charge. Here's Pure Country, and Pure Country emerging late to win the Breeders' Crown in 152-1.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're part owner on some. You keep some of them, right? Or mm-hmm.
Yep, we do.
So have you already?
The goal is to develop our own.
Right, that's right? What I mean. Have you? So in 20 years from now, have you developed the horse that's going to stallion and sire? The horse that's going to take you over the top.
If we're sitting here 20 years from now and I don't, I'm going to be very disappointed.
You're going to be very disappointed.
Absolutely. I'll be crushed.
When you first started this whole operation, was it, hey, I just want to do a little bit of everything? Was it stallions? Was it, what's changed?
Well, again, I thought I was smarter than everybody else. So we thought we're going to just raise a better horse and realize that it takes a long time to develop clients.
Raise a better horse how? Like the
I'm just... The traditionalists that say you can only do it a certain way, big F you to that.
Well, like, you mean the baby, as soon as they pop out, or before that?
The entire process.
Taking care of the mare.
Exactly. Everybody said you got to do it. These five steps to get to the end product, and I always thought that was a whole load of horse.
Did you add some steps, or you took away some steps, or just went sideways?
I started all over.
You started all over?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And I pissed people off at the beginning, and I'm okay with that too.
You sounded a lot like me.
Know, right? Just like, which is why I enjoy what you do. What you and Jay do is really interesting. So,
are you upset that I didn't have a list of questions? Because that's breaking the mold, right?
What? Doing this?
Yeah, I'm doing this.
No, this is what you're supposed to do.
This is what you're supposed to do.
This is real.
Have a conversation,
exactly.
Right?
It's real.
So, you obviously, you didn't just jump, you didn't come into it not knowing anything about the breeding. You kind of learned.
I spent 5 years collecting data, watching the sales, watching the racing, and thought, okay, now I'm ready.
Now you're ready.
Yeah.
I know that when I first started out as a trainer, same thing. I didn't look at what was successful. I just kind of looked at, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. And it's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's, hey, I know 2 + 2 = 5. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. So
I was an athlete growing up. You know, I swam and I ran and mm-hmm. I did all the other sports that there were. And so, you know, I just felt like there were so many things that this sport was missing out on in preparation of building an mm-hmm. athlete. And so I was like, I'm going to take some of that stuff and apply it to the way we raise horses. And
okay.
I think at this point, we've been successful doing it.
What's day-to-day stuff? Is that something
no,
that...
No, we're creative and we individualize every horse on the farm. So okay. it isn't like just go out and feed those 12 brood mares the exact same thing.
Okay.
Because you and I are not going to eat the same thing, or we're not going to eat as much as a guy that's 6'6", 350.
Okay, give me a success story then. Something that you noticed, all right, I got to do that a little bit differently.
Creatine. He had...
Oh, the horse, the horse.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Or creatine.
Okay, I was like, well, whatever you guys want to do.
Exactly, no. The horse, you know, he was struggling. We took him out of the sale and we gave him time. We said, there's something wrong with him. We don't know, we can't identify what it is, but we're going to give him time. We're going to let him be a horse for
Was this
months.
As a stallion or?
No, this was as a yearling.
As a yearling, okay.
Before
okay.
the yearling sale. Okay. I took him out of the sale. He had a big hawk.
Okay.
We thought, you know what? It's not fair to him to sell him like this. We're just going to kick him out, give him time. I actually offered him to five people. Everybody okay. said no. I tried to give him away. And I literally tried to give him away for $0 and nobody took him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to kick him out. We're going to let him be a horse. We're going to let him do that and then send him to Maine, which, I mean, how many great horses have come from Maine?
Okay.
Maybe Paul
couple.
Kelly's Obrigado,
couple, yeah, yeah.
right? So Don Richards had him up there at the Cumberland Fair where I grew up going and learning the sport. And
okay.
then shipped him to Bob Stewart and the rest is history.
And that's it?
Yeah. $2 million later, we got a stallion on our hands.
So, and is he going to be, how old is he?
Oh God, I don't know how old he is now. Seven?
Seven.
Eight,
okay, so is he going
like
to be,
that.
I mean, they,
his
you
first
know.
Crop was born this year. His yearlings will be next year.
Okay, and?
We love the foals, and we're going to keep the ones that we have and pass them out to different trainers and give them a chance.
Selling, now you're going to have to decide, has selling versus keeping, is that one of the things you learned?
I told you, we're developing, we think we're going to, we want to develop stallions. So I'm going to take the horses that I think give me the best opportunity to do so. I'm going to be wrong.
Right.
Right? I'm
going to
keep a lot bad horses and I'm going to sell a lot of really good horses. Like I got some really nice horses in the sale here mm-hmm. and we're keeping some really nice horses as well. So some people aren't going to like that. I don't really care. They don't have to buy my horses.
The way that I look at it, because some people are going to say, oh, well, he's only keeping the good ones. No, it's still a business. Sometimes you got to sell a good one that you know is going to sell for good money
yep.
to keep.
Yep.
Because,
and I have partners on horses that, you know, we've agreed together that we're mm-hmm. going to sell everything out of these mares. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're doing. And, you know, I got horses on day three that I think are worth six figures and we're going to sell them. I mean, I would love to keep some of these horses, but like I can't keep them all.
Can't keep them all.
Exactly. We have to raise money because mm-hmm. we're running a business here. So
got to raise some capital. Yeah. So
exactly.
It's not just about, oh, he's keeping the good ones or, oh, he's
and
always...
I will keep good ones. And like I said, I will sell good ones and we'll keep a lot of bad ones too along the way.
Do you only sell here, right?
Yeah.
Was that a decision that kind of, everybody was like, oh my God.
We raise the horses here. And this is, to me, there isn't a better place to sell a yearling mm-hmm. than Lexington. Nobody wants to go to Harrisburg.
That's it.
I mean, I'm being honest.
No, I haven't been to Harrisburg in 10 years.
Yeah.
You guys got me to come here. I mean, I live close now, but it's still, you know, this is my first time here. So this
yeah.
is a cool operation and cool setup. So
yeah. Our horses are raised 10 minutes down the road from here.
Okay.
So this is
this
home.
Is horse country. I
exactly.
mean, this is...
There isn't a better place to raise a horse, in my opinion. And, you know, we can drive them down the road ourselves. So it's easier to do that than ship them north for 8 hours on a trailer.
How about the day-to-day operations? Is that something that you excel at or are you a big picture guy?
I do both.
I'm
type A personality,
okay.
right? So I like to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I've realized at this point that I have to have good people working for me. And I do, finally.
Now,
it's taken me a while.
I gave everybody a chance to suck up to you. Here's your chance to suck up
exactly.
to some people. Who keeps you in check? Who's the one that has yelled at you
right
and
here.
Said, Adam, not we can't do that, but bro.
Actually, most of the best employees I've ever had started as interns.
Okay.
And worked their way up, including the one waving her hands behind the camera.
Yeah,
exactly. No, Caroline was an intern. She was so bad, she backed a truck through the side of the barn.
Well, listen, she's...
And as punishment, I made her take a picture next to it, so I always have it in
my okay.
phone.
Oh, okay. A little bit of extortion
exactly.
going on for the years?
I'm still here.
Right, that's why she's still here. So is you know, some businesses thrive on having some friction within it and just saying, I want to do this. You seem like me, where it's like, I want to go way, way, way far. And if I get reined in, fine. Is that something?
Yes.
So
you have to fail to be successful.
Right. So yeah. What are some of, let's talk about some of the failures. Cause I failed at plenty of things, not failures, but where you're like, I thought that was going to work, or I need the experience to learn from that. And it's going to get me over here.
I mean, when I started, I went to the sale thinking I'm going to buy 5 horses, and I came home with 25.
Okay.
Right. And I unloaded all the horses. I had no employees. And I sat there, I was like, oh shit.
What do we do
now? What am I going to do now? Exactly. And I spent the whole first foaling season. I did everything myself. I worked 48 hours straight at times. I mean, that's just what you do.
Yep.
You know, some of the horses that we bought haven't panned out, but that's just going to be the way it is. So I don't know if that's a failure. Hopefully we learn from those and don't make those mistakes.
Is that something that you're kind of like, you just have to move on? You know, hey, I made a bad purchase there.
Yeah, turn the page.
You don't sit on it, right?
Right. You got to turn the page.
Did you develop because I like to look at the specific reasons. Hey, why didn't that horse work?
Well, most of the time it's because I let somebody else tell me something I didn't believe.
Okay.
Right. So like for instance, the stallion purchase, we made one maybe in 2006 or 2007. We bought the entire horse.
Okay.
Which is a huge risk.
Okay.
Had it panned out, great. It didn't pan out and we lost a lot of money, but I let somebody else influence my decision.
So you didn't want to buy the whole horse and somebody said, no, you got to buy the whole horse?
Well, we were talking about getting into the stallion game and we just were naive.
Okay.
And some close advisors said, you know, I think this is a good purchase. And I questioned it at the time and it ended up not working out.
Okay. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, you turn the page and you try to do it better the second time.
This setup, I was walking around. I mean, this is top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Just the setup. I don't know if that means anything, but I kind of look at it as, you know, you go to a car dealership, you go to a house or an open house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if little details are being, you know, we're sitting on a nice leather thing, there's tables here, there's water, there's gift bags, there's all this little stuff, there's flowers, everything looks good. The branding's beautiful. If you're doing all those little details, maybe those details transfer over into the horses, into the employees, into the farm.
Well, I think it's the opposite. We put the details into the horses,
and that translates
into what we do here.
That's what I mean. Like you're looking at all details, which is talks to me about the whole operation versus you're not just showcasing. Because if you do a little bit extra here, you're going to do a little bit. That's part of it. It's not.
I have a vision,
right?
And they understand it. The girls that work for me do a fantastic job, and then they put that vision into reality.
Mm-hmm. When you see some of the other farms, some of the other stables, whatever, and things don't look as well or whatever, are you saying, I'm going to do better than that because I don't want people to, is that something?
Well, I look at anything that's better than what I do and try to emulate it.
Okay.
Or do better than they did.
Okay.
Right.
So outside the business or both?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's thoroughbred farms that do it way better than I do.
Way better.
They also have bigger bankrolls.
I was going to say, because I have to deal with this too, where you want to make things a little bit better, but then it comes into economics, time, things like that.
Of course it does.
So it's tough to, man, when I want to do a video or something and I want to really put some cool graphics or cool things, I'm like, no, it's going to take me 2 hours. I can't
It's not
worth it.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my biggest struggles now. Is that something that you got to go through?
Yeah, and you got to figure out, like, how do I take the principle of the idea and then apply it? And sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't. So,
do you like doing the breeding or the racing? Or what's your favorite part about this? Or is it kind of
seasonal? That's the best part about it, right? So right now we're selling yearlings. And you go into a lull in the fall where everybody takes vacation. Breeding season starts in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hope springs eternal, right? With the yearlings that you kept to race as 2-year-olds, and every trainer thinks that they have the next world champion, and that's the exciting part about it. Summer comes, racing, and then yearlings again, and you just go through the process. I don't sit behind a desk. I hate it. So I was never going to be that guy. And this is.
Do you like being with the horses and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you more of a hands-on horse guy? Can you do everything, or?
I can, but I'm too busy now to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, when I get an opportunity to, I breed the mares, When I'm in Pennsylvania, I like to show up for a foaling or two if I can.
Okay.
You know, and there while the stallions are getting collected. And I mean, I can do everything. I started doing this as a farrier first, as a blacksmith. So.
How long have you been married? What's your anniversary? Quick.
January 15th, 2011.
Good.
Yeah. Seven years.
Good.
Seven.
That was good, man. I asked plenty of people. They can't even remember. That was good. You'll get bonus points for that, right?
Exactly. We're going to show her the video now.
Which, yeah.
But how far into this are we?
We're 18 minutes.
Yeah, she won't watch it that long.
She won't watch it that long.
No, she's not that interested in me.
I'll cut it the clip and exactly. Just send that part to her. Is she... is she similar to you or total opposite? Is she crazy like you?
One of my friends right there. What do you think? Is Lindsay like me? No. The opposite.
So he's a little bit of a nut. You're a little bit obsessive.
Yes.
And she's just chill, relaxed.
When I go home, she doesn't really want to talk about the horses, which is good for me because I talk about it 24/7, which is why I got Sean down there.
Okay. So you got to have a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It is nice. Does she... Because I've learned this too. When Kate comes home from work and she starts yapping about her job, mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to fix it. I'm just supposed to listen, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something? Is that?
But it's 7.5 years into our marriage, and I'm just finally figuring this out.
Right. So I'm
you're ahead of the game.
I'm 4 years ahead of you.
Exactly.
So I guess I have grounds to be in a successful relationship, right?
Very.
Was there something that being married this long and she's seen the growth kind of? Because she didn't jump on you for your looks or your money, right? She jumped on you for your inhibition and your
probably
charisma.
Probably because I was different than every other guy she dated, right?
Right.
Bankers and lawyers and all that kind of stuff. I'm not that guy.
You're an outdoor guy. You're charismatic, all that stuff.
I don't know about that either, but I clearly did something right.
But she's been with you on the ride up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, she keeps me from not getting too out of control. Because if it wasn't for her, I'd have farms everywhere.
Okay. So she's like, honey, let's have a
steady
ride.
You have two kids at home. You gotta, you know.
Let's relax.
Exactly.
Let's make
your girls want to see their dad.
So. Calculated risks, right?
Exactly.
Is
so when I tell her where I want to open up a New York farm, she's like, "So at what time do you have to do that?"
Right.
And I say, "I'll figure it out."
You'll figure it out. Is that
usually at her expense, unfortunately?
Is that where you grow your team?
Yes. Absolutely. You have to. I wouldn't be able to do it unless I had trustworthy people to send up there. Because I can't be even two places at once, let alone three or four or five. So that's the girls you interview. That's the next generation of.
So the fact that you can trust them, because you don't say, hey, I want to own four farms. No, it's I got a great team.
I'm
so
able
I
to do
can.
It because of them. Yes.
Have you do you have a way of handling your employees that maybe you didn't like being. I don't know what's a word, but I've worked for employees that were dog shit and ones that were great. And I said, all right, I never want to do that as an employer, or I really liked what he's doing. Is there schedule changes? Is there, what's something that Diamond Creek's going to change? Because horse racing is apparently this 7 day a week, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But does it have to be for the employees?
No. And nobody's going to love it like I do. I mean, I realize that. There's very few people that are obsessed about it. I mean, I live, eat, and breathe it. I get up in the middle of the night and, you know,
dream about foals and,
all
your stallions. And
no, but I look at results and I watch replays. I mean, I'm just, it is who I am and has been for a long time. And I realize that's not everybody else. And so you have to manage people differently. Some people are going to be like a little bit like that, and other people want a life.
Mm-hmm.
And so allowing people to have days off is clearly important. It keeps them around.
New York farm, Ohio farm, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What, 3-4 years? Have you already signed the bill?
No? I would say by 2020 or 2021, we have a New York place.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be long after that.
Does it matter where in New York?
Well, I want to be somewhat near where the breeders are. I think that's important because New York's different in that the mares have to be in state.
I mean, you know, there's four different areas in New York. You could be in Buffalo, you could be in New York City, you could be up way up in, you know, by Canada,
or
right in the middle of the state.
Yeah, I would probably be in the middle of the state. Somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice farm area.
Yeah,
nice,
exactly.
Nice.
You know, we're blue chips in the middle of the state. They're in a great spot.
Yep.
I mean, something like that, right? If you're going to beat the best, you better be near the best, right?
Just park right next door.
Exactly.
And just wave to Tom every morning.
Exactly. I love Tom,
hey, Tom
too.
But... Hey, Tom. Oh, we're doing this better over here,
exactly.
Bro. You know.
Tom would welcome the challenge, which would be great. So
is that something, do breeders, do you guys have to work together?
Yeah, because the business is so small and insulated.
Right. Like what happens if...
But at the same time, like, everybody wants to be the best.
Sure.
I don't care who they are. If you don't, you shouldn't be in the sport that competes.
How are you going to measure the best? Is it by money, or is it by records? Is it by... number of foals under, you know, 148 or trotter 152? How are you going to measure your success?
Number of mares bred and continued over time, right? I mean, people aren't going to breed to your stallion unless they're producing winners.
Okay.
Right? So full bucks.
Okay. So you're saying number of mares bred to your stallion,
mm-hmm.
Not bred meaning I have 80 mares.
Right. I'm
okay.
Talking
right.
Like if we have seven stallions and I have seven stallions with full bucks, I think I'm pretty darn successful.
Okay. Question for you about the books. Some, you know, I don't know what the number, some limit to 50, some limit to 150.
Nobody can breed over 140 in the States.
140.
In Canada, there's unlimited number.
Okay. But some of the top ones are restricted, right? To maybe even less, a lot less than that, right?
Very few. There would have to be a reason.
So you did 140, mm-hmm. Right at the, that's what you aim for with every stallion?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
until you go to Canada.
Yeah.
So is Canada a deal?
Canada is a deal.
Is Canada something that
you think
about?
Yeah, New York, Ohio, Canada.
What about
Jersey,
like,
if they
Europe?
Ever get their shit figured out? We send frozen semen over there.
Okay.
For a handful of our stallions.
So there's no restrictions.
No,
on you.
And then we send five down under to New Zealand and Australia where they can breed unlimited numbers. So like Sweet Lou this year is going to breed over 400 mares down under.
So, boy was doing some work.
Exactly. Rock and Roll Dance bred 430 last year. He'll breed 200 plus this year.
Okay. So you're everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Any place you're not?
Probably not anywhere in Africa. Right.
Maybe
now.
Some of the smaller jurisdictions.
Exactly.
So you're just, I mean, those numbers, 200, 300, 400, that's what you're going to measure your success on.
Yeah. And then over time, right?
I mean,
they're not going to come back and breed if you're not producing winners.
Right.
So they got to keep producing winners.
Is it better to, like, if you got a stallion that's going for 12 years, that's probably what you're going to measure, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you care about fastest stallion or fastest record or most money earned or most Breeders' Crown?
Well, I'd love to breed the most Breeders' Crown, but it'd be pretty tough to beat Hanover since they got 500 mares or 450 mares.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Give me one.
We're the only we're the only breeder ever to win three Breeders' Crowns in one year.
What do you mean?
We bred three winners of the Breeders' Crown in 20.
Just straight homebred, like from you guys.
Yeah.
In the same year.
Yeah.
Three out of 12. Give them. Come on.
Creatine, Divine Caroline, Pure Country.
Okay. So was that when she was two?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And Creatine won with, was that the year he won with Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
Tactor?
Yeah.
And then Divine Caroline was David Miller, right?
Yeah, for Joe Oliver.
I know a little bit.
Exactly.
I know
Look
a little
you.
Bit. Look at it.
Eleventh race field is set for a start. They're off and trotting. First to fire from the outside, Creatine blasts his way to the front for Tactor. Second away at the inside as they move in front of us for the first time. There is Resolve. Crossed over to get a seat. Third is Goral Hanover. Be a Magician backpedals into the four hole. Fifth away from the fence came Flanagan Memory. Crossed over from in sixth goes Intimidate. And Master of Law will trail the field in seventh as they go to the first turn. So on the lead for Tactor, it's Creatine. In the pocket spot, Resolve from in second. Kakealele's just off the speed with Goral Hanover third. Be a Magician a patient fourth through 27-2, opening quarter speed. Back to the inside from in fifth now as they cross the tunnel and head towards the backstretch, Flanagan Memory. Then Intimidate from in fifth and Master of Law sixth. Now they straighten up towards the half-mile point and chase the front-stepping Creatine. Creatine up front by three lengths. Resolve is second. Third towards the inside continues Goral Hanover. Be a Magician is allowed to gap early from in fourth. She's about two lengths off the foe in front of her, a good six lengths off the lead at the midway point, and they're there in just 56-4. That half favors Creatin who takes the field towards the far turn. Resolve is second. Corral Hanover continues in third. Be a Magician from in fourth awaits her cue from Sears. Then it's back 50 inside to a chased along Flanagan Memory. Intimidate is sixth. He's a good 10 lengths off the lead. And there goes Be a Magician brought to the outside now. She's first over into attack mode for Sears with 3/8 to go. Still there on the lead is Creatin. Resolve is second. Be a Magician is third. Off stride sitting fifth went Flanagan Memory. Also off stride Master of Law in the backfield. 3/4 and 125 and 1. And they spin for home at Woodbine. And still there, Creatin. He'll try and go down the road for Tactor. Creatin is still there now as the blinds are pulled down on Creatin and he fronts the field by 2 lengths. Second on the outside with late speed Cummins Resolve. Back into third, Garal Hanover, Be a Magician, not tonight. It's still Creatin there by 2 lengths and Creatin wins pillar to post. Creatin in front over Resolve, Garal Hanover, and Be a Magician in 152 and 4.
Was that was actually my first Breeders' Crown.
Woodbine.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the rain.
Yeah, in the
it
rain.
It was awesome.
That's why I remember it.
I'll tell you what, there wasn't a better day than that. We owned Pure Country and Creatine, and so we won 2 ourselves, bred 3 winners. I mean,
there was a lot of champagne popping, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I dropped my parents off at the airport to fly home, and they had 2 great big suitcases, and I told the guy behind the counter, I said, careful, this is all Coke.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, you probably shouldn't say that.
No. Celebrations, last thing. Is part of getting to the next level, is that part of knowing when to celebrate, knowing you can do better, and just expanding, like you got to have a little ego and a little bit of swagger to become the best, because if you're
I'm cocky, there's no
right.
question
yeah. if
and I'm okay with that.
Some guys, they finish
right? I mean, let's be honest, yeah. Like I'm the best,
they finish second right? Yeah, no, and that's a real thing. If you finish second, you're like, oh golly, I finished second.
I'm fucking pissed.
No, you're pissed, right?
Exactly.
So
I'm the worst loser that there is.
Is there a sort of a prison, because I feel the same way too when I lose, you're kind of sucked into this kind of prison where you're
depressed.
Yeah.
I go stomping around the house. My wife's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I was second. She's like, oh, that, how much money did you make?
Right.
I stop, whatever. And she goes, that's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, no, not as good as first.
Not good enough.
Exactly.
So was that night at Woodbine one of those nights where you'd be like, yes, we got it. We're good. We did it.
Yeah. That was almost as good as it gets.
Almost. What's as good as it gets?
4.
4, right? And then exactly, 5, exactly. and then 5 plus the Hamiltonian, and then 5 plus the Hamiltonian,
exactly.
Right? Plus the pre-Denver.
Right, exactly.
So
everything.
You got to keep building.
I'm never going to be satisfied.
You're never going to be happy. But that's
I'll enjoy it along the way, but I'll never be totally satisfied.
All right, perfect, man. So Adam Bowden, CEO, president, what else? What are your titles? Breeder?
Yeah.
Farrier?
Exactly. Whatever you want to call me.
Whatever hat you want to wear.
And sometimes it's jackass.
Sometimes it's jackass. And hopefully we got a good sale. Well, we're going to keep bugging you all
good.
You know, over the next couple of days, and we'll do a recap show, and maybe that's out before this, but you know, we'll be seeing lots of you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Matt.